Hey Potters, welcome to episode 262 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
We're filming this from a boat.
Woo! We're building Noah's Ark.
We really are.
It feels like it sometimes. It's a good way to kind of test out the new place, though, and see how the drainage system works. Thankfully, no problems.
On your end, yes. On my end, we may have problems. Jokes aside, if you have seen Dallas-Fort Worth in the news recently for all of the flooding,
it was a thing.
We really hope that, it was a thing, and we really hope that everybody is okay. That not only the property is okay, but most importantly, that the people are okay.
Right. Key part.
Yes. We've got some friends who live, you know, closer to where the flooding took place, so... You know, we're trying our best to keep an eye on people, help them out where we can. So, thoughts and prayers, everybody is okay from the flooding. As a cosplayer, water damage is something of a concern, especially if you have your cosplay in storage, because there are certain fabrics that just cannot tolerate water at all. This is why you have to dry clean them. And... water damage can just, like, sack an entire cosplay collection. If you have, like, a leaky roof or something, poof. And I would never wish that on any cosplayer. I've seen entire cosplay collections just get ruined by natural disasters. And it breaks your heart.
Yeah.
Would never wish that on anybody.
I've unfortunately known quite a number of people over the last 3 years who have had water damage completely destroy, like, their entire collection of stuff, whether it's because of leaky roofs or flooding or whatnot, broken pipes. I mean, it's just scary.
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
As a cosplayer, just to think about it, especially knowing that, you know, you can store it in like waterproof containers, but there's only so much you can do.
There's only so much that you can handle with it. So, I mean, it's just like, right. I know for me, I'm right next door to one of the bathrooms and my closet is butted up against the tub and shower combo. So I'm like, okay, what can I do to kind of keep the costumes away from that area as much as possible, knowing that I have to use the closet because I really need the space. And it's just like, okay, I've got this hung up. I've got this on floors. Things are double bagged this way. So I'm just trying to mitigate it and thinking ahead. While I don't foresee any problems, it's just nice to be prepared in case something happens.
Right. It is something to think about. Like, as soon as you're done with a convention, you have to think about long-term storage for your costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done episodes on storing costumes in general. But one of the things I know that we haven't really touched on is storing things with natural disasters in mind, because, you know, not everything will fit inside a waterproof container.
Sure.
Not everything can be put into a container, and not everybody has access to waterproof containers. Maybe you have, you know, paper boxes, maybe you have cardboard boxes, things that definitely are not waterproof. So you do the best you can, but it is good to kind of keep those things in the back of your mind, knowing that you may have, you know, extreme cold, extreme heat, water, humidity, things like that. Insects, because moths are a thing.
Moths are a thing.
Really, really like wool.
Yeah.
And Amber just had an infestation because of all of the rain. It drove a bunch of ants inside my place. And I have to check my cosplay for it now. And it's not cool.
It's not a fun thing. Been there, done that.
You don't really want to put a cosplay on only to find that it was full of biting ants later on. That's not fun. So things to keep in the back of your mind. They're unpleasant, yes, but it tends to kind of...
it's a reality.
Hold off disasters later.
It's a reality. It's just, Amber and I are very much preppers and planners, so we think in advance and try as best as we can to mitigate damage.
We prefer to prevent things from happening rather than have to take care of them later when they do happen. It's a little easier, I think, on stress level.
Yes. As much as you can, because there's certain things you just can't avoid, but you know what? You got to mitigate.
And you can include cosplay in your home insurance value.
You can, absolutely, 1,000%.
Make sure you count that. Because if something happens and you have to claim insurance, you want to make sure that you can at least get the materials to replace those cosplays. Can't get the time back, but you can get the materials.
Absolutely. Yes,
so make sure you include that in your home insurance plan. Now with all of that positivity, let's move into cosplay update.
Yeah, let's move into cosplay
updates. Which
is
all you this time around, since I was both out of town and dealing with an infestation.
So my cosplay update is really just me working on my nice big crafting space, and this is why the room doesn't sound so as reverby now, because now I've got acoustic tiles up, I've got curtains up, I'm still working on a rug, I'm trying to find one that I like that matches the color scheme. But yeah, now it's actually like a functional place, and I've been able to sew in it for at least a good week now, and I'm like, yay, I can do stuff again. It's so wonderful. So that's been the big thing, and everything has just been stuff that I've built or put together myself. I've made my own curtains. They're custom. Nobody has anything like them. I hope you guys have noticed that they're a bunch of sewing notions. I found this fabric like a year and a half ago. I knew exactly what I was going to use it for, and I've just been waiting, and I've been waiting, and I had the moment that I could finally use it, so I'm so thrilled. So yeah, they're up now, and the space is starting to come together, and I'm really happy. I'm getting close to the point where I can start like putting things on the shelving unit and on over here. I want to get another pegboard up so I could actually utilize it as a way of like displaying things. I have all of these badges from the God knows how many conventions I have been to for the last 15 plus years. And I want to have a fun way of displaying them. So I was thinking about doing a fun little collage that I could stick on the pegboard, and that way I can kind of add and remove and adjust. But also I have like two or three props, since I'm not a very big prop person, that would fit really well being displayed in such a way. So I'm hoping to do that too. That'll be fun. And then the other funny thing that I wanted to share was that in the process of moving and having to put up curtains and stuff, the company that I bought my curtain rods from, they don't use styrofoam, which is awesome. I'm glad that they don't. Instead, what they did to kind of help prevent them from shifting around in the cardboard box were the big old box of crafty foam.
Yep. I've seen those.
I just started laughing hilariously. I just, the moment that I opened the box and pulled these out, and I was like, this is not, oh my God, I just could not stop laughing. And I'm just like, I'm going to hold these for something. I don't know what, because they're big and thick enough. There's enough space at the bottom that I could do something with them. But it was just like, here you go. Curtain rods are being packed with craft foam now. I can definitely reuse it instead of all that ucky styrofoam that immediately gets sent into the waste bin. What?
Those are amazing for protective storage of small accessories. I actually use floor mat foam.
That's a good
for
one.
The same thing. And I basically just take whatever small proper accessory that I want to transport somewhere, and I lay it flat on the floor foam, and I trace around it. Mm-hmm. And then I cut out the shape so that that way the foam sits at the same level as the prop that I just lay inside the nice little hole.
Yep.
At that point. And then if I need additional protection beyond that, then I just put two pieces of cardboard top and bottom, so it ends up almost like a custom little box.
Yep.
And it works really well to transport things that have, say, delicate edges that need to be protected. It's a blessing to get those kind of things in shipping boxes, and it's like, oh, this is perfect. This is exactly what I needed for
my prop making.
I can
recycle. That's the fun thing. I was like, oh my gosh, I can recycle. I don't have to keep dumping things into the trash bins because it's styrofoam. I can actually utilize this stuff for other things. And I've been doing the same thing with all the cardboard boxes I've been getting, is if I can't recycle it in the recycling bin, I'm reusing it for other stuff. I've got things that I've been working on around the place. So yeah, it was just really funny.
The sack rat in me loves it.
The recycler in me really adores it. I'm so happy about that.
I forgot. There is one thing I wanted to mention for cosplay updates, because it was so recent. I do not have HBO, but I am a very avid Twitter follower. And I ended up seeing a lot of clips from House of the Dragon.
Oh.
And don't worry, I'm not going to spoil anything. There is a character, and I don't know how to pronounce her name properly, because, again, I haven't heard it said, but Rhaenyra?
Sure. I don't know. I don't have access to HBO anymore, and I just kind of gave up on Game of Thrones, so there we go.
She's one of the ancestors of Daenerys, which is not a spoiler. I mean, that's been like publicly shown in the family trees.
We know exactly the whole bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in one of the scenes, she's wearing an outfit that I've now added to my cosplay list.
Oh, cool.
I fully expect Simplicity or McCall to come out with a knockoff of it.
Probably.
Not necessarily in time for Halloween, which is next month.
No.
Because they're about to release their fall collections, like, any day now. But for next year, I fully expect
Absolutely.
They're going to do a knockoff of this costume. And it's actually really good timing for Firefly Path, who recently put out a dragon-themed costume. I think it was spring this past year. And it shows you how to make scale pieces. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, perfect. Because the costume has a lot of scale accents, but it's very much like trench coat-ish.
Interesting.
So it's very easy to walk around in. It's almost full like a waistcoat.
Ooh.
But it splits to where you can have pants.
Okay.
Underneath. And that's, if you guys have seen me in cosplay and like Ren Faire type garb most of the time, it is always a top and pants. Mm. I don't like wearing dresses at all. I like pants. I like being covered. So this just fit like right in my wheelhouse. And as soon as I saw it, it's like, oh, that's being added to my list. Now I just need to figure out, because there's only one screenshot of it.
Of course.
One. I need to figure out if it's made of wool or if it's made of leather. Not shiny leather, like organic grain leather, soft, like garment leather. Because it's really hard to tell with the resolution of the screenshot that's out there.
Mm.
And wool versus leather makes a huge difference in like body temperature of when you're wearing a costume.
Right.
Not to mention cost and how to sew it. If it's the leather, I think that would actually be easier on me.
Yeah,
than having to do it out of wool.
It would be.
So I have to wait for next episode to see if there are any more screenshots of this particular costume. Because as a good cosplayer, I have to do my research. Got to get as many perspectives of the costume as possible so that I can sit there, sketch it out, figure out what it's made of, figure out where the seams are, if it has any seams. And I get to make a dragon egg prop.
That's the most important part.
I mean, there are so many tutorials out there how to use a foam egg and brass tacks and just make eggs that way. It's like, no. I want to do this with scale mail.
Of course you do.
Because of course I do.
Because of course you do.
Plus it's an opportunity to work scale mail into the costume.
I'm not surprised by this.
The only thing I don't have is the wig. I do have blonde wigs. I don't have platinum blonde wigs.
I do not have any platinum blonde that I could give to you whatsoever.
No, I wouldn't ask for it anyway. That was the only thing I wanted to add is, yay, I have new cosplay list thing.
There you go. That's always a joy.
Now note, importantly, I did not add anything from Rings of Power. No more LOTR cosplays.
Amber has learned her lesson.
I don't even think it's so much that is that nothing in the series really appealed to me. The costume design is very different than LOTR.
Yeah, I know, because it only just released today?
Yesterday?
Okay, I just remember seeing the countdown on Amazon and going like...
Yeah. It was all over Twitter last night.
Gotcha.
And there are many screenshots because I actually went looking for the cosplay, the costumes, to see, okay, what did they do with this? What direction did they go with this?
Mm-hmm.
They went a lot more towards armor.
Really?
Armor. Hmm. And it's like, no. As much as I love armor, theirs is like full body armor. like
Ooh.
full breastplate armor, and it's like it's not the greatest for movement purposes.
Right.
I'd rather have something that's maybe a little bit armor and then also flowy things.
Right.
So it's a nice balance. None of their costumes were really that.
Oh, that's no good. Valve will be catching that.
It fit the theme of what they were trying to do, because the story that they're trying to tell is a very martial one. It's just not very good for like the kind of cosplay I was looking for.
Sure.
And I'm sure there will be plenty of cosplayers that tackle what they used.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Rings of Power. Just what I've seen thus far is not, you know, my cup of tea. That may change. There are still many episodes to go, so I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah. I'm waiting to get any Amazon Prime membership until more episodes have come out, because I want to be able to watch multiple in a single sitting.
Exactly.
And right now they've only got one, maybe two, since there was apparently an upload mistake, but two episodes isn't really enough yet. I need to be able to watch like four in a row.
Yeah. At least you need to do it concurrently. I get it.
Yeah. Cause this is what I like to do on holiday weekends, is I will marathon things, and it's like, Oh, hey, that's a neat cosplay.
Yep.
Freeze. Go back, screenshot.
Say that five times
fast.
As I'm
sitting there watching. Yeah, screenshot is not... Be careful how fast you say that.
That's a tongue twister.
The shot at the end may turn into something that you may not have intended. Anyways, shall we get into today's topic?
Yeah, why not? You kind of almost segued us into it, sort of.
I couldn't think of a good way of getting in there, simply because... With armor, there's not really as much of a fitted aspect against accuracy.
Sure.
As there would be in flowy clothing, which if there had been, would have been a great segue.
But anyway, so our topic of discussion today is something that I've been stumbling on with Twitter, because this kind of popped up and started a fervor of debate all over again. It's why fit matters over accuracy. And I think the majority of people were more on the line of fit was more important and you being happy and comfortable with your costume, more so than the accuracy crowd. But the accuracy crowd was a lot louder and more...
Very vocal.
More vocal this time, especially like, you know, oh, well, if you want to be in cosplay contests, you always have to be 100% accurate and you have to have every seam line just right, exactly as the character would have it. Even if they have no seams on the garment whatsoever in their anime show, because good Lord, we know that that happens... A lot.
Then I start asking questions like, did the cosplayer glue themselves into the costume? Did they like heat bond themselves into the costume? Like, how did they get this on there without seams?
Because you have to think about like, okay, if they're just wrapping themselves in fabric, there's still a seam.
Uh-huh. There's a closure somewhere.
There's a closure somewhere. So hold on. You can't really make the accuracy argument that way. So I thought it was important for us to kind of jump on the bandwagon once again, but also to talk about the importance of why fit is a stronger metric of your skills than accuracy is. Because if anything, knowing how to fit a garment on you, whether it be fabric or armor or chainmail or any of that stuff, because you can make chainmail way too big for you and look like you're swimming in metal when you shouldn't be swimming in metal or aluminum or soda taps, whatever your choice of chainmail is. If you know how to have a garment fit you, it means that you understand that technique well. And it says a lot about your skill level versus trying to be 100% accurate and making something that has only one seam on it. It may not fit you very well. So it looks like that it's not properly tailored. It's not made to fit you. It just looks messy. I think it's the only way I can really describe it. It looks incomplete, looks unfinished. It doesn't look very professional. Because eventually, I mean, essentially it's what you're doing with a cosplay contest is you're entering it to showcase your skill level. And to me, it's far more skillful to show that you know how garment construction works versus trying to be 100% accurate to a character that has a seamless dress.
It also shows, to an extent, a level of care and time taken. Because if you just take a sheet of fabric and you wrap it around you because you go, oh, look, there's no seams on that. Therefore, I have to have no seams. The level of effort that it takes to wrap a tube of fabric around you and the amount of time it takes is very little. But if I see seams and I see that the garment properly fits you, I already know in advance that you had to take the time to not only measure those seams out, cut everything out, sew it all together. I also know that you had to go back and check the fit. Because that also takes significant amounts of time, since most of the time, unless you have a set of slopers and your body size does not change, you're probably going to have to alter the costume a little bit. So that takes additional time. So that kind of tells me in advance, okay, you took a substantial amount of time and effort into this to make sure that it fit properly instead of just, you know, wrapping a tube of fabric around you and using safety pins in the back.
Which still has a seam.
I mean, technically, there is a way that you could fasten it to where it didn't have a seam, to where it was open, but I don't think you'd like those results.
Because even in the seamless tights and leggings and stockings, you still have an opening. There is still an opening to get into said leggings.
Right. Most of the time when something says it is seamless, you have to start somewhere, for one. There has to be a starting point. And two, most of the time those are done on machines that weave in a circle.
Yes.
And they build up spiral-wise going up in a cylinder. Well, there's only so many parts of a costume that you can actually make in a cylinder shape. Not everything is shaped that way.
So even not body's everything not shaped that way.
Right. You can't really make an entire costume seamlessly using that technique. It doesn't work. Not on a human body, at any rate.
Right. It's important for people who are really wanting to strive for that 100% accuracy. You need to realize that you're taking a character that does not exist. So, like, we're focusing specifically on like anime, video games, manga, like non-existing characters. Obviously, if you're trying to replicate a movie or a television costume, they're going to have visible seams on those because a real person is getting into said costume.
Now, unless it's CGI, in which case they can do whatever they want, but it was still originally based on something that probably had seams. Even
exactly.
Like futuristic Marvel armor is still based on ancient Roman armor, which had seams.
Yeah, you can still see where stuff is cut together in a certain way that you're like, okay, that's reasonably, like, they would put the plate on here, they would put the gauntlets on this way. Yeah, you could still see where things come together that would naturally wrap around a person and feel realistic. So,
right.
Yeah, definitely. But in this case, I mean, obviously we're talking about non-existent, digital, fictional, drawn characters that are, probably don't have any seams on them. You know, if you're trying to strive for that accuracy, you need to remember that you're trying to make the real world equivalent of that fake character, which means you have to compromise and say, okay, this is a ball gown that has all these ruffles and these trains on it. It's probably 30 yards of fabric here and there, but there's not a single seam on here. You can't see a closure. You realistically cannot make that thing happen without seams. You got to have the side seams. You got to have a closure in the back, whether it be with corset style or you zipper it or whatever you decide to do. You got to just compromise and realize, okay, I am a living, breathing human being. In order for me to get into this garment, I got to put seams in it. I got to put a proper closure in it. And no judge in the universe, if you happen to do a cosplay contest, will ever take points off of your costume for putting seams into it so you can
None
physically get it
to Not on Earth. We can't speak for the whole universe yet.
Okay, so no judge on Earth. I guess I will not speak for the aliens. The judges on Earth.
the aliens might judge us for adding seams. But accuracy, like just the concept of accuracy, is so much more than seams. As a judge, if you show me a cosplay portfolio that shows me that you did research into the historical fabrics used for the character you are portraying, and then you show me how you went out and actually researched the techniques that were used with that particular type of fabric, and then used that on the costume, is so much more impressive to me than if you're sitting there trying to make sure that you have princess style seams versus empire style seams. Like, the seams become so much of an afterthought at that point, because you've shown me, again, a level of care and expertise that you have taken with this to show accuracy. And it does still show accuracy, even if the seams are, you know, not in the right place. Don't care. If it fits, it fits. And you've already shown, like, so much more effort in other places that I have to give points for that as a judge. I'm not going to take points away because your seam's in the wrong spot.
Right. Like, if you have more seams so that way it fits you better, to me that shows that you have more skill and you care about the look of the costume and how it's going to look on you. I would rather the costume have more seams than less seams.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is not to say that accuracy is a bad thing. We're not bashing accuracy, because
no.
Accuracy is still a very important thing in competition, because there are often points awarded for accuracy.
Yeah, there's just a level of extremeness with the accuracy,
right,
too. Because I think people go on the way, way overside and just kind of overboard and say, like, hey, if you
right.
want to do this, you need to do this. It has to be exactly matching the character to a T. You even need to
right.
do this with your makeup. You got to Photoshop. You got to have the contacts in, like, the whole nines. And it's like, hold up. Deep breath here.
I mean, if you took the contacts as an example, not everybody can wear contacts. There are many, many people that actually just can't, because it would either be uncomfortable, or they don't have the knowledge of how to do so safely, or it could even cause medical damage if they tried to wear contacts because of things like astigmatism, the shape of your eye. And so if you're going to be a hardliner and say, if you're not wearing contacts to match this character's eye color, then you have 0% accuracy. No. I mean, obviously you are welcome to your opinion. But I don't think that that cosplayer should be criticized as having 0% accuracy, because for any reason that they choose, whether they actually chose to or not, are not wearing contacts, does not mean that they are not accurate. Especially if it is very clear from seeing the costume that they spent significant time and effort matching the accuracy otherwise of that costume. And the same thing goes for small things like shoes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not wearing the same shoes, that doesn't mean the whole costume is suddenly inaccurate. Same thing goes with hair color and wigs. Yes, it's a lot more obvious visually if you're not wearing the same hair color, but not everybody has access to wigs. Not everybody has access to good wigs or the correct color wigs. I mean, the whole point of cosplay, remember, is play.
Play.
And this isn't an all or nothing sport. You know, this isn't either you gold medal or you get nothing and go home. The whole point of this is to have fun. So
mm-hmm.
if for some reason, like, you're missing one thing for accuracy, that's okay. You are still welcome in the community. You are still a valid cosplayer. I still love your costume and think you are absolutely gorgeous in it. And yes, please, can I have your picture? And that's all there is to it. 100% support. That's what they deserve. Regardless of whether or not they have the right eye color or the right shoes on or the right wig or the seams in the right place. Competition, yes, is kind of a different animal because we're actually, like, having to judge you against the table of criteria.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you're judging, generally it's not, you know, start from zero and then build up points.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, you start with top points and then you deduct for anything missing. I don't think any judge that I know or any potential judge that I know is going to deduct for things like seams being in the wrong place.
No, or contact lenses. Like, contact lenses
right.
are nice, but everybody has a general understanding of not everybody can wear it. Some people,
right.
or if the character is, like, whiteout, so they do the whiteout
mm-hmm.
lenses, we know that that really means you cannot see out of it, and they're like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you don't need to be wearing those, that's okay. Like, we understand for the cosplayers who do put in that extra effort, cool, good on you. It just doesn't mean that we're going to deduct points because you don't have the right color eyes. I mean, come on now.
Mm-hmm. And what of cosplayers who are in wheelchairs?
Yeah.
What of cosplayers who have canes and they can't wear the right kind of shoes? That does not make them any less valid.
Yeah.
They are still 100% valid as cosplayers. and deserve our 100% support, not criticism for not wearing the right shoes. This is all only my opinion, obviously.
I know the one thing that I was struggling really hard to not respond to, because I wanted to jump in on some of these, is that when it comes to especially like with manga characters, mm-hmm. Sailor Moon came to mind. Because their hair color changes so often. You guys have no idea how much I struggled to get the shade of blue that I wanted for my Sailor Mercury cosplay, because you could literally go between volume after volume after volume, even if you just went from the original anime. Almost every episode, it seemed like her hair color changed to a different shade of blue. It was like, there's 70 different colors for Sailor Mercury, and you're like, which one is the right one? Which one is the accurate one? Honestly, at some point, you just have to say, hey, this is the one that I want, so this is the one that I'm going to get. And I made sure to get something that made sense for the character, but it was also a good shade of blue for me, and it matched the blue of the costume. You know, so sometimes you have to make those adjustments too to figure out, okay, is this what's going to look best on me? And you'll find that happens quite often with older anime and older manga, where the colors start shifting and shades are changing, because that's what happens when things are hand-drawn like that.
And that even assumes that the manga or anime is in color.
Yeah.
It may be black and white and not have any indication of what color it is.
Oh,
it could be green. It could be yellow. It could be purple. You don't know because it's black and white, and the interpretation is up to the reader, unless the mangaka actually explicitly states what it should be. And even if they do, you can do whatever you want to do with it. If you want to have purple hair, even though the mangaka said that it's yellow hair, that's okay.
Yeah, why not?
You can still do that, because there is no like governing board of cosplay that says you'll be kicked out of cosplay if you do it wrong. It doesn't exist.
I'm just thinking,
do what you want to do as long as you are, you know, legally covered.
Right. As long as you follow convention rules, it's fine.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of when it comes to like the manga and stuff, like when I did my Magic Knight Ray Earth group, it was based off of art book versions. One image, no back, no sides. So all three of us had to figure out what the heck the backs looked like, because we had no references to go off of whatsoever. And
that happens a lot in video games, yeah, where all you have is just front.
Front, if you, especially if you do anything from like the 64-bit and under era. Anything before 2000, when you don't really see a whole lot of that stuff. Yeah, you just kind of have to make your best assumptions, and a lot of times it's a great way of getting your creativity out and really showcasing more of your skill levels and your style and what works for you. So I mean, I use that as an opportunity to really learn and grow and try new things.
I mean, there are plenty of people that do closet cosplays all the time, because either they may not have the resources to get the full official costume, or maybe they just want to be comfortable. I mean, we shouldn't even be judging the reasoning. Like, it's up to cosplayers what they choose to do and why they choose to do it. And if they choose to do closet cosplays, generally those don't exist in canon at all. There are no, you know, regular clothes versions of these characters. There are no school uniform versions of these characters. You can do whatever you want and play with it however you want. If you envision your favorite manga character in a school uniform, go for it. Nobody can judge you on accuracy anyway, because it doesn't exist, just like the character doesn't exist. That's what makes it so fun, is because you can use your imagination, since there is no reference point. You are the reference point.
Mm.
Your beautiful mind is the reference point. And as long as you think it looks good, that's good enough for me.
There you go.
And also, as long as it's legal and follows convention rules.
There you go. I was waiting for that.
Which is always a caveat.
Always the caveat. It's the understood caveat. We get it.
I mean, some people will even complain if you're not wearing makeup.
Yeah.
Like, some people have sensitive skin. Some people just don't wear makeup often because they choose not to.
They choose not to. They don't want to wear the makeup. And they don't have to wear the makeup. It's just the same with things like wigs. They don't want to wear the wig.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have to wear the wig. Who says that they had to?
Right. And we should respect that choice and support them for participating in the cosplay community. I mean, if you're being a toxic cosplayer yourself, then you can be criticized for being a toxic cosplayer. But like what you're wearing and accuracy and all that stuff is a completely different thing. So don't like hate on a cosplayer just because you don't think something is inaccurate about their costume. It doesn't make them a bad cosplayer, it doesn't make them a bad person.
No.
It just makes you a judgmental person, quite honestly.
People just want to cosplay the way that they want to cosplay. And honestly, I will give more props and more consideration in awards to cosplayers that take their time to make a costume that fits them, that looks really well on them, that it seems realistic and still matches the character, even though if they don't have the seams in the right spot, even if they had to change the hemlines, stuff like that. I will give more credit towards them because they put in more work for that to get it to look nice and to look professional and clean and polished versus those that were trying to match so hard to accuracy that it doesn't fit well. So it looks a little messy. It just looks rough and not really polished or tailored like it should be.
And there are other benefits to making a costume fit well, in addition to just like showing a level of professionalism. The costume will also move better with you when you move,
Yes.
which means it will
Very
break less
important.
often. Breaking less often means your costume will last longer. And that's a big thing if you want to wear it to other conventions. You won't have to, constantly be repairing it, constantly having to recast pieces, to have to re-sew seams. If you sew it correctly the first time with love and care and accurate fit, then it's like having, a cheap set of dishes versus a nice set of dishes. The nice set will last you a lot longer because you take care of them, because they're made of good material and with good technique so that they last longer, they don't break as often, and that's good in cosplay too. Not to mention that you will feel more comfortable in it doing regular things like walking around a convention, sitting in a panel, eating food,
Going to the bathroom.
going to the bathroom, doing all of the regular like movement type things that you do at a convention. You'll be a lot more comfortable and you'll be less tired at the end of the day because you won't be, say, constricted into a costume that you made a certain size to be accurate but doesn't fit you. If you can't breathe well for like 6 hours, you're gonna be dead tired, if not like having medical problems by the end of that time period because you made the costume not fit you. So it has like all these other benefits.
I'm just thinking of all those cosplayers now that are doing like the transformation cosplays, both on stage and off stage. I mean, that means you gotta configure your costume in such a way that you're gonna have a whole lot of extra seams and snaps and closures and Velcro and pieces like that, so that way you can showcase this cool thing that you decided to do with your costume. Totally not accurate, 100% to the character at all, because there was no way that they would have it, because they would just be like, wave my wand, magic, I'm in a new costume now. I mean, we know that that's not real, so obviously you can never be accurate if you want to do those type of transformation sequences. But they're cool, so do it. Who cares?
Do what you want to do. Like, in all seriousness, with the usual caveats, play. Costume, play. Go out there and have fun. If it makes you happy, fantastic. That is what matters. And besides, if you make it fit you, you'll look better in pictures. Because one of the big, like, points to cosplay and performance is having people take your pictures at the convention. And of course, pictures last forever, and you would like, I mean, they don't have to look perfect, obviously, but you want to look as good as you can in those pictures. And having your costume fit you makes you look better in those pictures, and that's win-win for everybody. It's good for your self-confidence.
I'm wondering if it would be nice, and I'd be interested in testing this, maybe even on a smaller scale, if the accuracy feature, like, well, the accuracy like category for cosplay judging in contests were just removed. maybe use a character reference so you have an idea of what to build your criteria off of. But maybe just remove accuracy entirely and just focus solely on construction.
I don't know if I would remove them entirely. I would probably go towards a weighted scoring system and just drop accuracy weighting to the bottom. So that you still get some credit, because at least in my eyes, you need to put some effort towards making it like the reference. Because if you take away points, then they may not worry about having it look like the reference at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I still want like to show some minimal effort, but not so much that you have to worry about like deducting points for it.
Right.
So I wouldn't mind if it had like 10% weighting for accuracy and like 50% for craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm. I would prefer to put craftsmanship much higher than the accuracy level of it.
Right. Exactly. Like significantly higher. I'd be okay with that. I know it kind of complicates math just a little bit for conventions like us that hand score everything still.
Woo!
But for those that use computers, it would actually be really easy to do a weighted scoring system.
Wouldn't be that difficult. Just means fewer numbers to work with?
No, it just means a little bit of added math on the end.
It's where the phone comes in to do the adding for me. Yeehaw.
I mean, if it was nice round numbers, like if you said, okay, 10% craftsmanship, 20%, 20%, 20%, 30%, where it was nice round numbers and you could just, oh, okay, multiply by 2, multiply by 2, multiply by 3, that you could do. But if you do like 15%, 35%,
that's just too much. And with us, it's pretty simple. Ours is like a 1 to 10, 1 to 20. So it's like, okay, it's whole numbers, so we don't have to worry too much.
Right. Nice, even numbers for multiplying purposes. Ideally.
But it would be nice to just have maybe that accuracy moved down such a scale where it's not like such a harsh emphasis on it and being like, okay, got to be exactly like the character, 100%, can't accept anything less than that, because it sets unrealistic expectations. Because no one's ever going to be 100% accurate. We're living, breathing human creatures. And even if you're trying to go for stage accuracy with a theater production or with a movie production or television show production, peeps, let me tell you, a lot of those costumes are literally thrown together a day before the thing is being filmed.
A lot of those costumes are CGI.
Some of them are CGI. Some of them break apart even after they've been filmed. And because they are not meant for long-term use. It's just, okay, let's get the scene done. I need to get the actor or actress in this fast. Stitch it in, go. And then that's
They literally sew the costume around the actor, so that the only way that you can get it off is to slice through it at the end.
That's why we give Star Wars episodes
literally
1 through 3.
One-use costumes.
One-use costumes. Like 1 through 3 gets a lot of very heavy love for me, is because I know they took a lot of time to build those pieces so that they would last, even if they were only used for one scene. Right.
And that's why some of them are in museums.
Exactly.
They last.
They lasted, and oh boy.
This is probably going to be a pretty unpopular opinion, but I'm okay with that. I would honestly like to see cosplay competitions go by the wayside in favor of cosplay catwalks.
I would love just
in other words,
cosplay catwalks.
No prizes, no rankings or judgings, but I would still like an avenue where people can still perform in front of an audience.
Yeah.
Show off their hard work, but without all of that pressure of competition, plus things like favoritism by judges or not all cosplayers having access to the same resources like 3D printers and sandblasters and laser cutters and things like that. It becomes very much a classism thing, honestly, in my eyes. When you get to the higher level competitions for like the very big conventions. And to me, like, that's a level of competition that cannot be made fair.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way, unless you literally handed every cosplayer the same kit to make their costume from and paid all of their wages from their job so that they would literally have like the same amount of time, the same amount of resources, et cetera, et cetera. No competition in the world is going to ever do that. So because it is almost inherently unequal at this point and can't really be made equal, I would just as soon have cosplay catwalks instead of cosplay competitions. All the pageantry is fine. No judges, no prizes.
Because people still want to see cosplayers, and that's why they go to cosplay contests, is because they want to see the massive thrall of cosplayers in one location. It's great for them to kind of sit and chill and to watch people as they walk across the stage, if they perform a skit or whatever. And such a catwalk would be great and open to everyone. I think that's the important thing, too, is like closet cosplay, messed up Halloween costumes that you threw together at the last minute cosplay, whatever you want it to be. I mean, that's nice. I know that some, at least locally, there is our Comic-Con convention, Dallas Comic-Con, does have their own cosplay catwalk. And it's just basically with like, you know, wait, cosplay red carpet. That's what they call it. So it is like literally a red carpet, and you got like the backdrop and all that fun stuff. And that's kind of nice. Right. And it just lets everybody who has a costume get a chance to kind of walk, get their photos taken, feel like they're a star for that moment. And then that's it. No pressure, no stress. And it's something that they've been doing for a long time. And I'm glad that they're still doing it. But I know it's just not very common anywhere else. I haven't seen it anywhere else, at least not at the other bigger conventions that I've been to. It's just kind of the one-off that we do here. And I don't think we give enough recognition in allowing ourselves to be able to just do a catwalk.
I would be okay if they capped attendance on it, because I know we still want it to be open to everybody. In other words, everybody can sign up. But if we let everybody who wanted to sign up, you'd have probably 400 people wanting to participate. And I don't think you're going to have enough people wanting to do an 8-hour catwalk. So I would
or
be
an
okay
audience
if,
to sit that long.
Right. I would be okay if they capped participation at a certain number and then maybe did one on Friday night and one on Saturday night so that you have both options. Plus, that way congoers have the flexibility in their schedule to where, okay, I want to do the Friday night dance. Well, I can go to the Saturday catwalk then. Or I'm not interested in the Friday night concert, so I'll go to the Friday night catwalk and then I'll spend Saturday out with my friends eating dinner.
There you go.
That gives people flexibility and still allows, you know, plenty of people to participate in the catwalk and still allows everybody the chance to sign up. And that's kind of like how I'd prefer it done, honestly. I know it would be a little more difficult logistically than, you know, the one and done cosplay competition. But honestly, I think everybody would be happier for it.
Because at the end of the day, we just want to show off our costumes. Win or lose, doesn't matter. We just want people to see our hard work and we want to shred our stuff. It doesn't matter what the situation is. We just want to be like, look at me, take photos. My costume is awesome.
And honestly, I would love it if they did it in a more traditional catwalk style where you extend the stage out into the audience.
I love those.
Because when you go to cosplay competitions, especially those that are first come, first serve seating, the people up in front get a fantastic view, amazing view. The people who have to sit mid audience or in the back sometimes can't even really see the cosplayers, and they can't see any details in the costumes whatsoever. You can see like general color blobs. And I don't think that's fair to either the audience, because for whatever reason they arrived in the line late, or to the cosplayers who did all of that work, but only a small section of people is able to see all the detail and effort they put into it. Mm-hmm. So that if you have the catwalk that goes in the middle of the audience, everybody has equal chance to see everything, and the cosplayer can show off to everybody and not just the front row or sometimes even just the panel of judges, and that's it.
And that's it. Yeah, having walked some of those where it is like more of a traditional catwalk where you're actually going down the center and you have all these people around you. I've done that a couple of times at cosplay contests. It's a very different experience. I would say it's probably a little bit more nerve-wracking because you are seeing those people up close and there's more of them, and it's like, oh, whoa. But at the same time, all the stage lights are on you, so you don't really get to see those people. You just see the X's on the floor and then your gravy. But it is a different experience, and I think it does make it much more engaging because then people can actually see more of your costume.
Yeah. And honestly, to end on a bit of a funny note, we know how cosplay contestants nowadays do the whole walking across the stage thing, where you give them 30 seconds and it takes them about 10. At least if they have a catwalk, they have a place to go for those 10 seconds.
And then they have to go turn
You're gonna
around and come
run.
back. So it takes them even longer.
Exactly. Exactly. So at least, you know, we're providing you a direction so that if you're nervous, at least you have a place to put that nervous energy and then bring it back. And then you're good. You don't even really have to worry about, you know, stopping on the X and posing and holding yourself still. You can just keep walking.
You can keep walking if you want
And that's
to.
fine. You can use up all of that nervous energy and still look fantastic doing it.
We extend that 10 seconds to at least 15.
20, because it's 10 there and 10 back.
That's a long. People walk faster than that. I mean, we've had people walk across the stage in like 5 seconds.
Oh, I'm imagining like audience the size of Project Akon and catwalk going all the way through and
Oh,
then all the way back. If
that's a
you can
big
walk that
one.
in 10 seconds, I'm impressed.
You could hoof it.
Even power walking, you cannot walk the length of that ballroom in 10 seconds, I promise you.
I will start
You
charging.
might run it. You might be able to run it in 10 seconds if you're quick. That's a big ballroom.
We can charge. We can do this. We got this.
This is not inviting people to charge down the catwalk, by the
No,
way.
please don't. Remember, it's always three-fourths
Please don't.
speed.
The competition will still have the usual requirements of, you know, three-quarter speed, fighting at half speed, feet, both feet cannot leave the
The
ground at
ground.
any time, kind of.
Except when you're walking. Oh, too funny.
Just an idea. I know it may be an unpopular opinion, but I did want to put that out there.
I'm not against that opinion. I don't know about contests ever going away, but it would be nice if we saw more conventions picking up the catwalk or cosplay red carpet idea.
Maybe Cospod can host some of those just as a panel where all we do is we bring a red carpet
Yeah.
and then just take all the chairs and desks and put them to the side and just
Side.
have the audience stand on the side and literally just have an hour panel of cosplay catwalk. Everybody bring your camera.
Good chance to see
Let's
all your
go.
favorite cosplays. Doesn't care what you're wearing. You just show up, and if you want to walk it, you walk it.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can be darn sure that every single person who does the catwalk will have a picture of their costume because there will be people literally taking pictures of everybody. Whether you're a favorite character of theirs or not, they'll still take pictures
They'll
of
still take
everybody.
photos. Everybody takes photos.
Or just film it and then you know for sure you have a photo of everybody.
Exactly.
Food for thought
There you
when we're
go.
not running cosplay
You know, something else. Just something else to put on the list. It's fine.
contests. All right, well, with that, we will go ahead and bring an end to this episode 262 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you would like to join in the conversation, let us know what you think of the cosplay catwalk idea, or let us know what you think Nick Cage should wear if he were on a cosplay catwalk. Feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
If you are watching us, all the information is located underneath Amber. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at Cos Podcast.
Feel like I'm doing the segue signal. Of course, you can also email us podcast at cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us along with Nick Cage themed memes.
Guaranteed.
Otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there, keep working on those cosplays so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a cosplay convention local ASAP. We will see you guys next time in episode 263. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.